Blog Talk Radio.
Exploring at Phrases with Captain B2. I'm calling you. Dan the Man?
I am here, and that was some darn scary music, let me tell you. And it kind of ended like She's So Heavy by the Beatles. That was the scariest part. Just ended for no reason. I love it.
Yeah, great atmospheric. That gets spun up real fast. So, how
Socrates
you doing today?
Socrates said, good. Socrates said, sounds like Box Spider-Man. That's okay. That's an interesting one. Thank you, Socrates. I'm doing good. I just saw anybody who is on, I'm gonna plug myself here. Anybody who's on Instagram, I literally just signed up for Instagram. I'm not kidding, like 20 minutes ago. This is my very first social media ever. Besides LinkedIn in here, I've never been on social media ever. And I'm trying to promote my book, so I got talked into promoting the book. So it's Daniel Descino Poetry. And, I just thought I'd put that because I'm not kidding. I literally signed up like 20 minutes ago. So
we launched you like a battleship. Should we hit you over the head with a bottle of champagne?
I wish somebody would hit me over the head with a bottle of champagne. I could use a drink right now. It was, let me tell you, not all's good. All's good.
Launch vessels.
That's right. That's right. No, it's all good. Yeah. I'm going to, my kid's got a parents' weekend next weekend. He's going to Brandeis, so I'm very excited for that. Haven't seen him for a little while, so that'll be fun. And tomorrow is also, so in about 2 hours, is my wife and I's 29th wedding anniversary. So there you go. Lots going on in my boring life. Did we lose Bobby, or did everybody leave me?
Are you there? I can hear.
I can hear you. Okay, good.
Okay,
good. You must have faded out for a second. You're actually a little kind of fadey tonight. I'm hearing you go in and out a little bit. I think it's the scary part of it. Is that you being scary?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bobby, you're fading in and out. I don't know if anyone else.
Maybe I'll call back in. Maybe I'll call back in. Today was Tim Burton, and so I got to watch Sweeney Todd, which is pretty horrifying. So, let me call back in. Let me call back in, see if that helps.
We could, yeah, call right back in. That's good. And yeah, put, Frank said I heard Bobby hissing.
Well, Bobby is calling back in. Just to let you know, I am here to join you guys for reading and commenting. And Daniel, you also
yes.
have Socrates on with you. So Socrates, if you could join us. And now Bobby is back.
Yeah, it's
all
just
righty.
An improvement.
That's better, yes.
Okay.
That's
good.
A little better, yep.
Yeah.
Socrates, welcome, man. I don't think I've ever spoken to you before. I heard you on a show the other day, though, and I enjoyed your comments very much. I'm really glad you're here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I've never heard you before either. This is my first time.
I think I might have heard you on our sister. Yeah, I love it. I think I heard you on Sinner and Saint. I think I might have heard you. Was that the show? My memory right? Because my memory's going pretty bad.
That was
the right one.
Two shows ago that I was on, so that was probably the one.
Hey, there you go. Well, anyway, we are all kinds of scary tonight, and we got some really great poetry, and I know Bobby is dying to talk about it.
This is my favorite time of year.
That's right.
The thing is... This evening, we've got a very, very special artist here. She's French. We have Anna Bachelier, and she's abstract, but she's very, very highly stylized. Some wonderful colors, some great, some very, very almost impressionistic. And in finding her work. I tend to go through the work, the body's work that the artists have that I found, and she had this one book that she had done on Phantom of the Opera, and I thought, what a great pick for Halloween, and so I went through all of her Phantom of the Opera work and collected it all up and put it in this contest. Now she has more work, and it is spectacular. So I think somewhere in the near future we'll again, and give folks another shot at some of other work. People that
Bobby,
are we doing it again?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Are you on your cell phone? It might be a cell phone issue. It sounds to me like.
It is based on the book. Not on the musical, not on the operetta, but is on the book. So you may see characters in her work that my memory that you will not be familiar with the book. It is worth your time. Some of the things that you will see in the film or the musical. That you can understand, like people that they comment about the book shows why. So, and I'm not going to tell you. So.
Hey, Bobby, I think it was doing it again. If you're just to be proactive here, if you're on your cell phone, you might want to try calling in again.
I don't know. It's the only cell phone I got.
Are you using a headset, Bobby?
No, I don't have one.
Okay. I was just checking because sometimes I know people who use headsets with their phones have to, like, you know, adjust them sometimes.
Okay. Well, I'll try and keep it as close to my face as I can. I'm not talking very loud. I will say I'm not talking very loud tonight because I've still got some soreness in my mouth and my throat. So, you know, no drill commands tonight. Anyway, so her, she's almost got a Goya-esque way of translating her light and her shadows. And she's got such a beautiful style that I thought poets would have with her. So, and then I tried to break it down illogically into the characters and then scenes from the book to make it a bit easier for folks to deal with. And it's good work. So anyway, we are, because this is a strictly a Halloween week, our Halloween extravaganza, our carryovers are going to be our next show. So for folks who are expecting to hear carryovers, no carryovers this evening. However, we promise you something wildly spectacular on our next show that, who knows, maybe we'll feature the artwork of a resident artist named Dan DeCino on a contest and have people write to him. So
yeah,
I got to talk to this guy. See how he feels about it.
I'm not an artist. I take a photographer. You would not want to see my drawings or paintings. They would. They've actually gotten worse since I've been in kindergarten. My finger painting is much better than I do now.
Photography is art. Photography, you are an artist.
That is true. Anyway, and, you know, I figured out why you're having trouble with your headset, you know. It's Halloween. This is the closest we are to actually, you know, this is All Hallows Eve, where we're close to it, where we're close to the spirit world, and they're just coming through is what it is. You know that, right?
Oh, good grandma. Thank you very much. I'm being visited by World War II gremlins. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Rather than clean up, you know, clean the table off, we could start fresh and just dive right into these puppies this evening.
Let's do it.
I got a text from Ryu. She, when we come to her piece, she would like me to read it for her.
Yes,
so,
absolutely. She's not feeling well today, so Ryu, we hope you feel much better. We miss you. We should join. Just a quick question for Socrates. I have your poem on the list, but are you able to stay a little bit? I wasn't going to.
I'm
going to
stay
do
all
this
night,
a little
actually.
Bit. Oh, you're the man.
I'm
going to
stay all night. Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Excellent. All right, so then that's the case. We're going to go a little bit of order here, and we will get going.
Yes, please.
Yes, I'm hearing Frank is saying, I'm hearing some breathing, too, and I think that's our spooky late-night show.
Me.
So, yes.
I will mute my breathing.
Well, no, I'm hearing – it's very weird. I'm hearing like a ghostly sound behind us, which
I'm
is very, very interesting.
I'm body distorted, too, so who knows what's going on.
Hey, I told you, it's the spirit world coming for us. I'm
okay.
I'm ready for him. Anyway, what we have as the first one is actually a sound cloud by our friend Intimidus Rex.
Outstanding.
And I am excited to hear that. So, let's, Frank said he thought it was Bobby falling from her chair. I don't think so. But
not until Frank.
Yes, let's. All right, let's hear the SoundCloud.
All right, let me go ahead and find that and
Thank you, Pam.
No problem. Here we go.
Darkness played frenetically. Those notes of controlled chaos, born pawn, lift alien fingers. Ringing coppered vibes in angel tears, pinging inside skulls emotives from noir pearls and ivory skeletons, aflame where that honeyed realm crawls out of a marbled coffin soul, whimpering its abysmal clarity. Kismet, reflected in cold gray shards, pictograph glyphs dancing within strawberry jam, thick and heated, oozing out of your veins, threaded pulse. We tore the evolution of breast in your Mothman prophecies as you milked vacillation's prose. Lend me your bones, and I shall savor that sweet treacle for my benediction. Oh, how dusty countenance thine foul fetid and curdling meat suited fromage. Stench. Come, a rose-watered clawfoot wouldst cleanse the stain upon this glorious porcelain crate, and raspberry bee balm shall add much luster to your obsidian locks. 'Tis time. Twilight arrives, and we must have you pose as rigors set. Mona smile, alluring sensual gait, coated with paraffin of silver nitrate, dipped in a solution of copper sulfate, shall make of you a grand addition to my house of Carimbo Coquette. Tussauds is an aberration. Here, realism is sacrosanct, and beauty is revealed in every bit of your nuanced and naked bronze requiem. Magnifique, mon cher, magnifique. Tu es verdadia. Welcome, one and all, welcome. The ladies await, and ye shall feast well this night.
Awesome read in SoundCloud, Rex. We really, really appreciate it. And how did I know Rex was going to have cool music? He certainly always appreciates music. That was awesome. Frank said it sounded like cool 70s music, and Pam said it's a bloodthirsty, bone-twisting disco, which I thought was a great one. But that was a great SoundCloud. I love that. I love that music in there. Socrates is our newest guest here. Let's start with you. What did you think?
This is like the perfect intro for this radio show. This is the party, the party is just starting, I felt his language was just amazing. I mean, his multiple languages, that like French, and I believe there's some Spanish in here. And it's just style of all the words, in different orders is very beautiful. If I had to pick a line, I'd go with, where's it? Oh, this one right here. Two suns is an aberration. Here, realism is sacrosanct and beauty is revealed in every bit of your nuanced and naked bronze requiem. It's almost like it's a dream world. This is like happening in the shadows almost, the mirrored world of life, it's very beautiful, very dark, and it's very appropriate for the intro of this radio show. Thank you.
I agree, Socrates. I thought it was a beautiful way to start. Absolutely amazing word use. I always appreciate when anybody gives a Mothman reference, Mothman Prophecies reference. I thought that was my favorite line there, but that was great. Pee Wee said organ grinder got his name for a reason. See, now you're thinking here, Pee Wee. Right? That's now you're using your mind on Halloween weekend. Organ grinder comes with a totally different musical meaning at this time of year. But thank you, Socrates. Awesome comment. Pam, let's go with you.
All right. Well, I thought this was just absolutely brilliant darkness, strong imagery and metaphors. I always love the way he scatters and plays with the shaping of his stanzas. I love the use of the word kismet for the word fate. Only Rex could write something so dark as about serving up people for dinner and have it be beautifully elegant. I like that there's a duality to this. There's the almost a romanticism side to it with the use of classic language and such lines as magnifique, mon chéri, magnifique. And at the same time, you can see the darkness, especially in such lines as, come a rosewater club, clawfoot, which cleansed the stain upon this glorious porcelain crepe and raspberry bee balm shall add much luster to your obsidian locks. 'Tis time, twilight arrives, and we must have you posed as rigor set. And great dark twisted ending. The ladies await, and ye shall feast well this night. You know, this is just the type of write that you just want to do a wicked laugh after you're done reading it and rub your hands viciously together. Excellent dark write and very well done.
Awesome comment, Pam. Absolutely. Yeah, and you know what reminded me of was A Clockwork Orange for some reason, because it was very dark, but then it had this kind of fun, goofy music around it. It reminded me of just I don't know why, it just reminded me of them dancing around in that movie. But, yeah, only Rex, because this is a definite Rex one. I just love the playfulness he had with all the words, too, just even in the design of the poem. So awesome. And, of course, Bobby, what's going on?
I like his opening, darkness played. I mean, two words just set the tone for the whole piece. And I see this is a very rich piece. This is like a tapestry. You've got colors and textures, and you've got honey realms clawed, crawls out of marbled coffin scowl, coppered vibes, cold gray shards, strawberry jam. I mean, you've got the whole array of sensory stimulus here. And kismet's one of my favorite words. I think in his words, I'm deeply impressed with how he captures the style of Anne Beauclair's of her artwork. I mean, the richness of her work, the texture, the different varying tones, and the deep the darkness of it, but still the beauty of it. And I think he has really done. I mean, let's see, raspberry bee balm, much luster to your obsidian locks. Again, you go through this, and this is just so rich with descriptive phrases that you've got a classic word painting here that he has again has been inspired by Anne's work, and I'm very deeply impressed with what he has done with her work as opposed to his language that he applied to it. So extremely well done.
I agree. Yeah, the language is just unbelievable. I'm actually excited to read this later, because I think it definitely deserves at least a second read. And that was prompt number 37, for those following along by, of the, 487 that Bobby usually puts on here for prompts. She never doesn't leave many out. I always like that. There's always lots to choose from. Those are my favorite kind of contests. So, Bobby, always an awesome job. You put a lot of work into these contests. And you do a great job with them. All right, we are going to move on. And guess what? We have another we have another SoundCloud.
You're spoiling us.
We're starting over the bank, I'm telling you.
You're spoiling us.
We got it easy tonight. This is by Eric Svensson called Geysers Will Blow. And this is to prompt number 33 for those following along.
All right. Well, before I push play, I would like to let you know that Frank has joined us. So welcome, Frank. Glad you could join
us. Hey, Frank.
Hello there, my friend.
Hey, Frank. How are you?
Doing well tonight? Hello there.
How did I know you were going to join the hot Halloween one, Frank? This is right up your alley tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Somewhat I figured that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, really
I'll
appreciate
try to stay
it.
On as much
did
as,
get...
Yeah, I'll try to stay on as much as I can tonight.
Please.
Sure. We'll get to your we'll get to yours
Sooner
than later then.
No, that's okay. It's mostly because of my phone. My phone is the issue with me always, so that's the reason why I say that. But,
gotcha.
The poem. Gotcha. No, I didn't. Are you asking about the previous poem?
Yes, did you get to hear Rex's poem?
Yes, yes, I was very much, as I was listening to and observing his work, first of all, it was a fantastic rendition. You know, he has one thing that I always enjoy about Rex's piece is there when he's throwing himself in there, he throws in the humor to his aspect in of writing, which I dearly appreciate. I thought it was very creative. The music, above all, the music was very, very cool. You know, smashing cool, if I could say. And I thought the piece overall was just remarkable there, and he did a fantastic job. He gave it a different angle to the story there of the Phantom of Opera and the character of Eric there. But I thought it was a fantastic piece.
Excellent. Thank you, Frank.
Oh, you
And with that, let's go with Eric's SoundCloud, if we can, Pam.
Gazers will know prelude, compression, compaction, compulsion, subterranean sledgehammer hard toils, broils, brews a fermented stew, unrequited love. Gazer erupts on cue. Thunder, blunder of truncated, rollable air compressed. Pursed lips compacted by a maimed, scarred heart. Revenge compulsion escapes through eunuch organ pipes upward. Echolocation of the opera's phantom, bat blinded by love, subterranean spelunker mind plots, besotted urge to maim, scar and crush wet winged butterfly beauty, gargoyle grunge, lunge gasp. Admonishes Dante's Inferno comes to mind. Crystal clarity of soprano voice shatters resolve. Hail horrors, hail infernal world. Scarred, maimed heart will old faithful guise of blow. Chained by rank remorse, tortured by unforgiveness. Clammy, cold-blooded reptilian heart feathers a gothic love nest. Princely underworld phantom pursues rigor mortis ruse. Tremble, treble, tribulations of Bach pipe. Organ music riddles. Riddles a subterranean heart scathingly scarred beyond repair. Wilt thou willingly, willfully pluck the wanton butterfly's wet wings? Wilt thou disembowel the terrified, tremulous nightingale? Intermission. Fatal flaw, lockjaw resolve, unrequited love, gerunt. Why did the gifted high phantom chariot swing so low? Of late fiery flame scarred, maimed Notre Dame Cathedral, yet wet wanton rose windows remained unscathed. Within clear nightingale voices still sing songs of praise. Chorus. Memories of matins. May I live this day, compassionate of heart, gentle in word, gracious in awareness, courageous in thought, generous in love, and firm.
All right, wow. What a voice, huh? My goodness. If he's not doing voiceover somewhere in radio, he really should be. I mean, I could see Eric going in to order breakfast and literally getting a standing ovation in the diner just by he's $10 says he talks like that all the time. But man, I could listen to him all day long. What a voice! Amazing imagery, just such a beautiful read and really well done. You can tell he put a lot of work into this. Socrates, I'm going to start with you again.
Well, this whole poem is just full of such heart, you know. I mean, it's a he even mentions Dante's Inferno that comes to mind. The gargoyle grunge, lunge gas admonishes Dante's Inferno comes to mind. This is a, I believe this is about the geyser erupting and the Old Faithful, they were saying back in the day that, they still say that if it ever blows over, it could be a huge volcano and kill lots of people. And yet, it's a very, like, treasured park, you know, the Yellowstone Park, which is where people come and they bring their kids and their dogs and stuff, you know. This is a very beautiful poem about love and loving the the underworld and what comes of this geyser, you know, what's going to come over. So I think he did a really good job making this very abstract, like in terms of ambiguousness. And he has a very good voice, as you said. Yeah, I definitely think that if he was to order like a, you know, sandwich, everyone would like clap their hands like in admiration, you know. So this is well done, beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah, and that was very interesting what you said. I thought with that subterranean slips, hammers, hard toils, and then the imagery throughout. And I think you are right. I believe that pretty much all of Yellowstone could literally turn into a volcano, and that would not be a good thing. But that is some of the worry. Frank, let's go with you.
Well, first of all, I agree. It was a fabulous, remarkable song, Clock. As for the poem was very, very much, it took me, it was like watching, actually not watching, it was like hearing, you know, over the radio, hearing the whole, you know, act one, act two, act three. I almost got the whole feeling of just going through the motion of him describing, you know, what's going on with the ambience there, the circumference of what is the theatre there, the opera house itself. In the character of the Phantom of the Opera, I like the notion there of incorporating the geysers as an analogy, or I guess something analogous to the organ there. But Michael did a fantastic job there, just bringing, you know, being creative in that aspect, and you know, giving us really the insight here to an incredible narrative here. You know, he took it a different spin onto it, and I like the notion there. How the chorus ends with the memories of the Maton, which is a French word there. I like there what he says, and I live this day, and he talks about compassion, being gentle, gracious, courageous, and generous in love. You know, there is that a bit of the irony, and yet it's like the moral of the story there. So I thought he did a fantastic job of this poem.
Thank you, Frank. Yes, yeah, a really unique, you know, take on the poem, which is always so great to, on the story, which is always so great to see people take things in different personal ways. Pam, what do you think?
I think this is amazing. As always, he's got just wonderfully clever use of imagery, alliteration, strong metaphors. I really thought this was an epic rite that paid tribute to the Phantom of the Opera, and the emotion that is behind that story, but done in Eric's own unique style. I like how, to me, the main message of this is that love has the power both to create and destroy. I also have to agree with Frank that it was wonderful the way he set it up, almost to be like a musical performance with the prelude and the intermission and the chorus. I really like the imagery in a glammy, cold-blood, reptilian heart, feathers of gothic love nest, princely underworld, phantom pursues, rigor mortis ruse. And one of the great things about this, right, is the way that with its use of imagery and metaphors, it shows us how the character of Eric held so much in until he finally just snapped. And so just, right, that is the Phantom's real name, right, Eric? Do I have that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Okay, I was just double checking. I thought so. I thought so. All right. But, yeah, I love that. I love how he shows the way that the Phantom of the Opera just holds everything into his heart and then explodes in that anger. And I think that's what the geysers represent. So, excellent write and very well done.
Excellent, Pam. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, and I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know why I didn't read or revisit this story before this contest here, but I don't think I have to do it again because I just realized how it's been so long, and I'm of course extremely interested after all this poetry already. So I wish I did it before, but hey, hindsight is 20/20, right?
But there's many versions. The play, which I have not had a chance to perform it yet, but there is a play version, of course, and then there is the actual story, which is from the novel itself.
Yes, the one I'm going to try not to do is the Disney version, but any other version
I'm trying to do.
I'm thinking of the old Bela Lugosi movies is what I'd want to see.
There you go, yeah. 1928
exactly.
Version there.
Exactly. That's the one I'm thinking of. So I do, before Bobby gives her comments, I do want to welcome Asteria, who was on the board a little while back, and thanks for joining. And then Pee-wee, of course, has been on there, and A.R. Mumble joined us on the board, so thank you, everybody. And Bobby, I can tell you've been formulating these thoughts for like 5 minutes now, and you're dying to comment here.
She's been phoning there.
That's right.
Like, nope. I'm appreciating what everyone else has to say because they're really very astute observations being made. And in this particular piece, I also admire the way he structured it. I've done a couple of pieces that similarly, and you just divided up the way the particular art or dance or what have you. But I like the way he did this. And he definitely captures the subterranean the sense of Eric's existence, echolocation of the phantoms, of the opera's phantom, blinded by love, revenge compulsion, escapes through pipe organs upwards. It's steeped in the atmospherics of this hidden world. And you get a sense of that as you're reading the book, of how vast this is. Underneath, riddles a subterranean heart scathingly scarred beyond repair. The other thing that I really thought was a very astute, this line, right? Wilt thou disembowel the terrified, tremulous nightingale? He refers to Christine as a tremulous, terrified nightingale. I thought the parallel of her as a singer to the nightingale, will thou willfully pluck the wanton butterfly's wet wings? Those parallels, I thought, were just so beautifully created. The visual imagery is striking. Again, this is a terrific piece and a very eloquent and a very elegant representation of the artwork.
It's a really good point, Bobby. I just got that when you're saying it now about her, you know, comparing her to birds, to the nightingale, so that's really great. All right, cool. We are going to do the next one, which is Pee-wee, who is, like I said, on the board. And Socrates, I'm going to pick on you again. If you wouldn't mind reading that, that would be great for Pee-wee.
Sure. Eternal Moment by Pee-wee Poussin. Moment trapped inside death left, hanging from a note that never rings, lost eternities conceived of a breath without foothold for any time to cling. Lovingly entranced eyes all else shines, misery retreats into shackles of sublime. Torment or torture never this maligned, only ambrosia exquisite, elegant, divine. All life surrendered to its fingertip, mystical eternity lost in beautiful mind. Softly caressing forever, holding a kiss, lights continue, strobe dance and shine. Eternally home in egg, timeless reprieve, shining moments of his grand design. Oblivious euphoria, suckling the sweet nectar, dripping the twisted vines of time. Lifetime away, an existence much colder, harsh realities of a life yet unappeased. Stolen soft kiss that brushed the shoulder, never returning to that life so diseased. Lips locked in sheer ecstatic crescendos, vines of time now swaying in the breeze. The kiss, though, he can't bear to let go, hears notes softly rustling in the leaves. Unbridled bliss never known in the world, as his heaven rains down on him, eternal moment slips now unfurled. Awakening to this bed he's been in. End poem.
That was a great read, Socrates. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I always love Pee-wee's writing. Pam, we're going to start with you.
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Socrates. This has wonderful rhyme and flow. I do like the A-B-A-B rhyme pattern. It is one of my favorites. I thought this was a really great write that made me think on the idea of the, you know, especially at the end where awakening to the bed he's been in, is that idea of love and bliss that you so cruelly get awakened from. I really enjoyed his imagery in this, especially all life surrendered to his fingertips, mystical eternities lost in beautiful minds, softly caressing forever, holding a kiss, lights continue, strobe, dance, and shine. And all the way through, there's this romantic imagery, this idea of how perfect love and life is. And then all of a sudden at that end, it just jerks you cruelly awake, and you're left to realize that this is nothing but a poem of complete and utter heartbreak. And so just beautifully written and very well done.
Yes, I agree, Pam, and that is what the, you know, what the story is basically about, right, with the character. So great insight. Awesome. Frank, what's your thoughts?
Yes, first of all, I thought he did a fantastic interpretation of that, what you were saying exactly there, Daniel. I truly felt that he touched on certain themes of the persona of the character in this piece here. You know, he talked about the love interest as well, that perhaps it was more of an obsession on his part there, unwittingly. But I thought overall the piece was just magnificently impressive in the way that he displayed, you know, of course the rhyme scheme is there. But the metaphors he employed in this poem here was just a delight for me. He really came up with a tremendous creativity showing up this poem. I thought it was just a wonderful reflection there. And I'm looking at the quote there, and it talks about vision in which my head becomes a dream. I almost felt that he was getting into the head there at some point there of the character there. It's a great poem. Great read as well.
Absolutely. Thanks, Frank. And Pee-wee used prompt 32 for those following along. Socrates, you did an awesome read. What did you think of the poem?
I thought this poem is, to me, is about death and sleep. And I feel like he really shows his talent and the eternal moment, which I believe is like eternal rest, you know, because I have a thing called sleep paralysis, which in this I imagine him trying to get up but never could. So I imagine him just staying in bed, feeling that torturing moment of this eternal rest, you know, just like the eternal moment, the being of lovingly entranced eyes, all shines, misery retreats in the shackles of sublime, you know, the shackles of being in this bed. You know, I feel like he's going through it right now, but I don't think this poem is specifically about Pee-wee, but this is still a good poem. Great job.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't have sleep paralysis, but I remember experiencing it when I was younger. So that's a really interesting take on that. Thank you for that. Bobby, take us home with your comments.
I like the way he's. I like the comments that have gone before. They're talking about Frank mentioning obsession. And it made me take a thought I was having at the moment a step further. And to me, this speaks of unrequited love. And I think all of us have been there at one point or another in our lives to experience unrequited love. But what if you take it a step further and you've got unrequited obsession? And here's a idée fixe. His whole world revolves around this one person, this woman that he is trying to. He tries to elevate her to almost deify her, but at the same time he keeps her subjugated. He wants her to free her music, but he wants to keep her spirit captive. And he talks about that eternal home and timeless reprieve, shining moments in his grand design, but then a lifetime away in existence, much colder realities of a life yet achieved. So I think he realizes that he's got this grand obsession, this grand idea that is never going to see fruition. And could there be anything more frustrating than knowing that you're never going to see that goal? And I think Kyle talks about it beautifully. With an unbridled bliss never known the world, as his heaven rains down on him, eternal moments slip now unfurled, awakened to this bed he's been in. He realizes he's a captive of the situation and of his feelings, which she is never going to return.
Amazing. And Pee-wee said, perfect, Bobby, exactly what I had in mind. So you hit that on the head as much as Pee-wee did. And amazingly, Pee-wee says he really didn't have any reference for this. He really hadn't heard or really read this before or seen this before. So he was kind of just going with what he saw. So great job. You hit it on the head. And Bobby, you channeled him tonight there, so you guys are on that wavelength somewhere, so great job.
I'd like to do that.
Exactly. Alright, cool. We are going to continue with all our guests here, and we have yet another SoundCloud by Poetic Picasso, Frank, so thanks again. We are getting spoiled tonight, so if we can play that,
oh boy, yeah,
that would be great.
Absolutely. Alright, let me find that. And
I hope I don't spook anyone tonight.
Oh, I hope you do, Frank.
Amidst the surreptitious shade of the recesses of hollow walls of a gloom, resides the wretch with the malefaction from a patriarchal depravity marked of his doom. Humpty the mouse disguises the latent scars bore, from the glimmer of his disfigured guise. The midnight glow radiating from the penetrating stare of the pallor of his ghostly eyes. His mysterious shadow roams the dreary corridors of the Parisian opera house. Behind the Tyrian draperies where the footfalls are heard from a celebrity's mouse. In the eerie sounds of an organ play, the melancholy chords of his dripping devotion. The orchestral voices tenfold accompanying always his nothing obsession. The nocturnal spirits awakened by the apparition from the musical fingers of his seductive passion. And his captivating notes born for the sober embrace of a gentle compassion. A condemned prisoner thus forsaken to her unrequited love and ethereal beauty. For he is an erotic admirer, enticed with Elizabeth's spell of her exotic purity. She had masked the macabre whore and suffering of his lingering soul discovered. His nose with sunken eye, face resembled a horrifying skull of terror uncovered. He is the composer of the somber voice of solitary anguish and deep despair. The dreaded opera goes exiled to the susurrations of the darkest nightmare.
Great job, Frank. Thank you. And I'm not joking when I say this. I'm staring at the words, ha-ha, I'm waiting for it, and it still startled me. I'm not even kidding. It actually startled me, that ha-ha. So you did your job on Halloween. Beautiful read. Awesome, awesome. Great job. And Pam, we're going to start with you.
The music there you heard in the back.
I'm sorry, did you say the original film?
Oh yeah, Go ahead, Frank. Before I forget, I was saying the original was from the original film, you know, the 1928 version. There, I took from that actual film. You know, I took a scene from that, and I used that for the background of the music. That's all. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's perfect. I thought I recognized it. That's beautiful. Excellent job. Pam, go ahead.
Yes, sorry about that. I thought this was absolutely lovely. I really enjoy how you captured the heart and the spirit of the opera, of the story itself. I like that you decided to write this in three-line stanzas, which I thought had a really nice flow and formation to them. The reading was, and the laugh at the end was absolutely perfect, dark and haunting, wonderful background music. I just really like how you capture the emotional quality, the emotional and sensual quality of the story. For he is an erotic admirer enticed with the Elizabeth spell of her exotic purity. She unmasked the macabre horror and suffering of his lingering soul discovered. I just thought that was absolutely brilliant lines there, Frank. Beautifully written and very well done.
Appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Pam. And Frank, since you said you haven't got to play this on stage yet, I'm assuming you would enjoy playing Eric on
stage.
Oh,
yes. By all means, yes. I would love to do that. Just have to memorize those lines there because it's just a hell of an opera. I'm not going to do the opera version. I don't sing much, but I can do a stint of doing the character, of course. Not the opera version.
Right. Excellent. Hopefully you get to do that. But yeah, I hear you on the opera part. That's a totally different skill set, right?
Yeah, that's out of my avenue there.
Yeah. Socrates, what are your thoughts?
Well, as someone that hasn't seen The Phantom of the Opera since like 10 years ago, I only remember bits and pieces of the play, which was, I believe, the Disney one, but I'm not 100% sure. I think this is very seductive, very emotional. You know, it's very, very, very dark. If I remember the movie correctly, I remember it was the spirit trying to get this angel to sing or something like that. But this is very beautiful. I like the line. Where is it at? For he is an erotic admirer, enticed with the illustrious spell of her exotic purity. Which, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was about a demon trying to get an angel to sing, and he was abusing her that way. This is very beautiful. I have no worries to this because I can't really tell you much about this because I haven't seen the movie in so long. But this is just still amazing. This format, this whole story of just the ghost making love to this angel is very nice. That's my thoughts.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Socrates. And I actually just looked on YouTube while we're waiting here, and the 1928 version is available on YouTube full for free.
There you go.
So if anybody hasn't seen it,
yeah,
well done.
You could see a little bit in the book there of that video. The video will show you some of the scenes there.
Yeah, and anybody who hasn't seen older movies, it was a totally different time. And there's just great cinematography, some great shots back then. So, Bobby, what are your thoughts?
1925, not 1928.
There you go. 1925.
Better.
Yeah, and I really liked the avenue you took this down. Your background music, I recognized it instantly as being from the film. Oh, yeah. You hit me in some place where I live. Lon Chaney, I have long been an admirer of Lon Chaney Jr. and Sr.
Mm-hmm.
Jr.
Mm-hmm.
didn't do quite as much with his career as Dad did. For folks who don't know who Lon Chaney Jr. is, if you've ever seen The Wolfman, the original one, that's Lon Chaney Jr. plays the Wolfman. Larry Talbot, I believe the character's name is. Lon Chaney Sr., much of makeup and what's being done now, the genesis of it was with Lon Chaney. And the things that he used to do to his face, to his body, were just, if you've never explored what he's done, we take makeup and prosthetic makeup for granted nowadays, and SCG, but what this man did is as a forerunner to all of this that we had technology we have now is just mind-bending. It really is.
Man of a thousand faces.
That was his tagline. And if you see some of the different roles he plays, he is a chameleon. It's just absolutely astonishing. Mm. But I like the way you took that particular depiction from you, the fact that the artwork made you think of this, and then you went in that direction. I like that independence of thought and taking it in the direction of the classical film. I really like that, and the fact that and it also explores another aspect of that. The phantom is just so enraptured by her voice, by her musicality, and the only rapture that he can achieve is that rapture of the soul because of his repugnance. He is never going to experience the pleasures of the flesh, and he knows that, and that just intensifies the torment and the anguish and the appreciation of the beauty of her music in counterpoint to his grotesqueness. And you've captured that. She unmasked the macabre horror and suffering of his lingering soul discovered, and face resembling a horrified skull. He is a composer, and that moment in the film, my father and I were both admirers of Lon Chaney. My father and I would sit there and talk and watch silent films. We watched as many Lon Chaneys as we could get our hands on at the time. We didn't have technology, but he explained to me that when he saw that in the theater, that women were fainting. That when he was, when his face was revealed, women fainted in horror. The depiction of his, and it just seemed to me too that the physical torment ended up manifesting itself in his soul, and so the externals were an outward manifestation of the internal torment, and the fact that he was never going to feel any kind of love or pleasure or anything like that, and it maddened him. And I think you captured that so beautifully. I dreaded off the ghost, exiled to the serrations of the darkest nightmare. Beautifully done, Frank. I like what you do with this.
Well, I appreciate that. As an actor myself, I do, like Daniel, I do appreciate the 90s, the foreign films as well. So I grew up listening to those, actually not listening, but seeing those silent films. So I'm a true admirer of silent movies there, silent films.
One of my favorite biopics, Jimmy Cagney, Man of a Thousand Faces.
He plays
the original Lon Chaney. And you find out, people don't realize it. You know this. I know you know this because of your attention to detail. But Lon Chaney, the original Lon Chaney's parents were deaf, and he grew up in a silent household where everything was signed. And for a long time, when he was outside, he wouldn't speak because he didn't want to be. He wanted the silence, and so his way of expressing himself in silent films, his upbringing was actually his perfect training ground for how to express himself, his emotionality on the silent screen. And he did make some talkies, but by that time he was experiencing problems with, I believe, tracheal cancer.
In my opinion, it's a different art form. You know, if you look back at the older movies, even the black and white ones, but even the silent films, it's a totally different art form, a lost art form, you know. And it definitely should be looked into by those who haven't before. Awesome comments and great form. And now, go ahead, Frank.
I agree with you.
Oh, absolutely. All right, let's continue on. And Pam, I'm going to post yours now. If you would give that a read.
All right. Let me just get back to the room and do.
All right. This is.
Were you in the corner there?
What's that?
No, I said, were you in the corner there?
Yep, I was in the corner enjoying my drink and my quiet time, and now I've come out into the center of the room.
There you go.
All right. A wraith in the echoes of your voice. The temptation of love is mocking me, whispering wanton words to my deep wounds. I want to wash your feet with my aching tears of desire. What is regret but a knife in the soul? Your voice weaves magic through the air like ringing bells from the land of the Fae. Will you sing for me, my distant love? I will join with you. Let us chain ourselves together that we will know the bondage of our songs. Part these curtains and soak me in. Let my red velvet dreams bleed upon you. Miserable are my ghosts, lonely in their habitat of a merchant's stars, were I able to purchase a way out of this desperation of damnation, I would do so. Honeyed memories haunt me. I string my thoughts like a cord from the balcony, listening with grave intent to a revelation of the abyss. I want to know you, to mean something to you, and yet here I stand, a wraith in the echoes of your voice, forever tormented. Fingerprints scraped raw, clinging to the cliffs of that last note where hope of love drowns in the tempest of the aria. End poem.
Awesome read. And I love how you just got into the mind of the phantom and, you know, what he was thinking in the torment and just the love that he felt. And you could feel the desperation. I thought you did an absolutely beautiful job with this, Pam. Awesome, awesome, and you know, I think it's just perfect for the picture that you have with a phantom kind of standing on this balcony. You can kind of see him almost alone there, with, you know, everything else around the picture blackness. So I thought you did a great job with that. And Frank, we're going to start with you.
Well, this was a very impressive poem here, Pam. You did a fantastic job. I mean, it's so visceral here. I agree with what Daniel was saying. You encompass. You personified Eric, the character there, to the T. I just like the metaphors in this poem here. The way you guided, narrated here, I almost had a seed in my mind there. You know, you talk about the devotion, the temptation of love. You talk about the yearning there to wash your feet there with the aching tears of desire. You talk about her voice. You talk about what's going on with you and the pain that you're suffering. Hello?
Importante.
Hello? I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a quick interruption. Go on.
Okay. I just want to say it was just a fantastic poem. It was from the beginning to end. I was mesmerized by this poem. It's one of my favorite poems from you there, Pam. I was very much deeply moved by the way you incorporated the character and encompassed him throughout the poem. Fantastic.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Frank. I loved the land from the land of Fae. I didn't know that word before, and it's fairy, right? Another word for fairy, I guess. So
yes.
I really enjoyed that. I learned something as usual from you, Pam. I had to look it up, but I love it. It was a great, great word choice. Yeah. Socrates, what are your thoughts?
This is so emotional. I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure the Phantom was the villain, right? But this paints the picture as, like, you know, someone who's very loving and just wants the best out of this lover of hers that he just can't have it because he's a ghost. And I do love this line right here with this where's that I string my thoughts like a cord from the balcony, listening with grave intent to a revelation of the abyss. I want to know you, to mean something to you. And yet here I stand, a wraith in the echoes of your voice, forever tormented, That's just so sad and beautiful. I mean, I think I understand why my sister, her favorite play is Phantom of the Opera, because it's just so beautiful, you know. People that love, you know, unrequited. It's so emotional. You did a great job, Pam, and you have such beautiful words that just paint such a lovely picture, and your paragraphs are just so unique. You know, the flow is amazing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Oh, sorry, Pam, go ahead.
I was just saying thank you.
Okay. And it's kind of I don't want to ruin it if you haven't seen it yet, Socrates, but a sympathetic villain, let's put him that way, would be a good way to describe Phantom. Cool. And Pam, anything else you wanted to say about your poem before we go to Bobby?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Bobby, it's all you.
I think sympathetic villain is a good description. That really characterizes it. He is the protagonist, but it's clear to see there's not pure evil there. No, I really like your storytelling in this, Pam. It's taken his feelings from afar, and his constant being around her and being cohabitating with her in the theater, and the unattainability of her love, and the reminder of her beauty with her voice. Your voice weaves magic through the air like ringing bells. Will you sing for me, my distant love? And which he has her do, because he presents himself as the angel of music to her, and her mentor, and she thinks that this is almost a representation of her father. I will join you. I will join with you. Let us chain ourselves together. We know the bondage of his songs, and there's the kinship in the music, but that's as far as the emotional association goes. And my favorite line: "Let my red velvet dream lead upon you." Beautiful. When I read that, I went, "Oh, I love that," and it did, because it just captures the spirit, or the essence of the prompt that you selected, and what you wove around it is beautiful. Honeyed memories haunt me. You did a really superlative job on this, Pam. Thank you very much for this entry.
Thank you, and thank you so much for the inspiration.
Absolutely. All right, awesome. We're going to move on. Socrates, I just posted yours. If you wouldn't mind honoring us with a read, that would be great.
Yeah, all right. So this is called Ode to the Witches of the Red King by me. Silent, staying vibrant but fuzzy on love, a blue jay singing kisses in my blood. I ponder a teary-eye, sacred but lost. If I would only die in the hands that cross and fear not the red light, coming down so soft, I could be a father, a husband, a lover loved, slipping by angels with my own wings. Which heart will be the one for why my blue jay sings? Kissing, intuition, missions mixing, and the alien ring, the ring of money, rainbows mixing, coloring me king. What shallow hole was too great to dig if I die needing everything? And now consumed by a kiss, a heart in my fist, I bottle the reddest of which. I'll find you soon, you just gotta listen. My heart weighs a ton, and I want to have glistened like the cosmos, and all the Galileo's burning from a virgin's mind who never felt the warmth of a woman. M-Pom.
Beautiful read, and what a great poem. You know, for somebody who's not familiar with the story, I think you really kind of captured some of the the sadness, and I know Bobby was mentioning before, you know, where he's never felt, you know, a woman's touch and love, and I think that longing is really here, Socrates, and just a really beautiful, you know, heartfelt poem. I thought this was really, really great. I'm going to start with
Pam.
Thank
you. Can I just say something real quick?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Please. Yeah, say whatever you like about
your
poem. Absolutely.
I actually didn't read the contest. I just put a Halloween poem in there, and just so happens to fit the Phantom of the Opera.
Hey, no problem. No worries.
So that's actually really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I see on your notes you say a twist on an old Romani folktale, The Witch and the Red King.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Bobby usually does, we usually do have a contest. The next one actually won't be. The next one is going to be carryovers. Be the first one we have without a contest. It'll be carryovers and possibly some open poetry. But, yeah. I think you actually kind of captured some of it on here, some of the essence of the Phantom, I believe. So awesome.
Thank
job.
You so much.
You were channeling it. You just had that, you know, it was coming into
had
you.
That
so
energy.
Great job.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right, my friend. So, Pam, let's start off with you.
Yeah, I really love how as the imagery and the sadness and the darkness in it, I have to agree with you, Dan, that though not written intentionally for the topic of the show, it does have the sense of longing that you find in the Phantom of the Opera. I really appreciate the question, slipping by angels with my own wings, which heart will be the one for why my blue jay sings. And I like that you chose the blue jay, because a blue jay is a very loud bird, a very oftentimes a bird that's considered a bully, because they will chase other birds away from feeders and even squirrels, and they're very much focused on making sure everybody around them knows that they are king of that area. So I thought that was an intriguing thought in the idea of the blue jay. I also like where you know, there's a sense of what the person wishes they could be, and the end with from a virgin's mind who never felt the warmth of a woman. I thought that was a perfect ending to set for the poem, because it's the whole idea that which we never have is what we long for the most. You know, if you're poor, you long for money. If you're, you know, if you've never felt that physical touch of love, you long even more for that physical touch. So wonderful, haunting, emotive, right, and very well done.
Thank you.
Excellent comment, Pam, as always. I want to welcome Stelina to the board. Stelina, thank you for joining. We have not read your poem yet. We're going to do that very soon. Frank, why don't you comment?
Yes, I too was looking at the notes there at the bottom there, and about the old Romani folktale. I did grow up with some of those tales as well, to some extent. I like the way I do agree with what's been said, although the poem is, well, not perhaps for this particular show, but it still fitted in the criterion of the character and how his woe just was so pervasive throughout the film. And the story itself, the novel, like that. I thought you did a wonderful job with your metaphors in this piece here. And you threw in some subduction in the end as well. You talk about the cosmos and Galileo was burning from a virgin's mind and never felt the warmth of a woman. That was a bit erotic there, but I thought overall you did a wonderful job here. I'm not familiarized with the witches of the Red King completely, the whole story. But you did a tremendous ode to it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Thank you, Frank. And Bobby, what are your thoughts?
I like that you brought a totally different aspect into the storytelling. You were inspired by
one story to think of another story, which my bizarre linkages in my brain understand completely. No, I will set off obscure reference warning sirens all over the place when I start talking about stuff like that. But this is I like the fact that my late partner, I would say something and my late partner would go obscure reference warning. And but I like the fact that you're inspired to think of this other folktale because of the story of again a Red King. I see the parallels. If I would only die in the hands of that cross and fear not the red light coming down so soft, I could be a father, a husband, a lover. And here's the character of Phantom, who longs to be loved for who he is and not reviled for what he looks like. And unfortunately, his corruption of his face it turns inwards into the corruption of his soul, and the fact that you've thought about this with my heart weighs a ton, and I want to have glistening like a cosmos and all the Galileos burning from a virgin's mind who never felt the warmth of a woman. There it is, right there. His longings for love and for acceptance. I see it now more than we were talking about it. I see that there's a longing for love there, but also a longing for acceptance. And love me just because of, just as I am, but there's no redemption there. And I see this in your piece, and I really appreciate that you brought a different mythology into it. I think that gives a layer of complexity to the storytelling that is fascinating.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Bobby. All right, so I was going to play Stellina's, but I think she's trying to get a sound quote, so we're going to hold off for a little bit. And we're going to go to Liu's. And believe it or not, it is 22 past the hour. We only have 40 minutes left, and this is the first poem that doesn't have a SoundCloud or isn't by somebody who's listening or hearing the show. So we're very popular today, Bobby. All that SoundClouds and people paying attention. Take that, all you bullies in high school. I'm popular now, let me tell you. That's all I got to say. That's right. That's right.
No, don't ask me to read this. I'm not a woman there.
No, that's okay. I was going to ask Bobby, actually. Bobby, no, I think
yeah. There you go.
Lou reached out to
yeah,
Bobby, so
yeah,
this
Lou,
is
you
all
have,
yours.
And
oh, there
yeah.
you go. For
oh, and I do
remember,
want to
put
I
a, one, to do a woman's voice there.
Yeah. So we do actually have one by Anne that we'll do next. So I'm sorry. Yes, we still have Anne's to do, which yours is coming up, Anne. Don't worry. But yes, this one is all you, Bobby. Go for it.
I really am glad that she selected the that particular image, the angel of music. I think I find it strangely I find it an appropriate selection to our wild dove, but that particular image is so ethereal I'm glad that she picked it. So we have seduzione della notte, la tua voce canta, music, notes infused, darkened, midnights, nightingales rest near gothic laced shears, speaking moonlight's charms, tears trickle stardust fantasies, nightness reveals our pained loneliness, peaking moonlight, light the silence, stirring dreams. La tua voce canta. Starlight glistens as wax drips your voice. Fires light as candelabrums, darkened spaces, pressing ebony fingers on, pipe organ keys to my singing. Heart, our songs flow in the night's air, swallowing, drowning me, filling my heart's essence. La tua voce canta. Feathered troop of singers, downy warmth surrender. I surrender to musical, unwinding baritone caresses, joined heartbeats, penned in the languages of a libretto, dancing, a wine, golden honey, filled, mingling, twinkling deceptions. La tua voce canta, awakening dolce intoxication, operatic languid, dual harmonies, ensnaring cloaked blackness, musical notes, touch heaving, breasts above my domed canopy. Your music box, combed teeth, raptures, sleepwalks, and shrouds, catwalks, winding, misted corridors, abandoning all refrain. La tua voce canta, unraveling my beatus tones, whispering, Angelo della musica, touching, thrilling, sumptuous notes, lavishing musical amore. Candles, hundreds rising in watering ebony eyes, rehearsing the masquerade. Ball of fragrant wisteria, high soprano notes, sparkle, meld into heart's rayless lair. La tua voce canta. End poem.
Excellent, excellent. And yeah, I do miss Louie's beautiful voice. I hope she's feeling better, but you did it great justice and did an awesome job, Bobby. And she has such beautiful imagery, right? She always does in her. So what a really beautiful poem. Socrates, let's start with you.
I just want to say that I love all the Spanish in this. I don't completely understand it, but it just adds such
Italian.
A nice texture to
it's
it.
It's Italian.
Oh, is it Italian? Oh, okay.
It's Italian.
They're close okay. to each other. Yeah, right.
Yeah, pretty close. I'm actually Italian, but I know Spanish language. Yeah, this is beautiful. I mean, I know, where's it? Amor means love. So that's, I thought that was Spanish for sure. But this is, her language is just so, you know, revealing. You know, it's just so erotic. And I think she plays the angel in this, right? She doesn't play the phantom. So I think this is a really good job, you know, the other side of the story. I think she did a great job. I really like this line right here. Joined heartbeats penned in language of a libretto, dancing a wine, golden honey, filling, mingling, twinkling deceptions. Ooh, that's just nice right there. She did a great job. Excellent read, Bobby.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Absolutely. Pam.
Yeah, wonderful read there. Wonderful read, Bobby. Such a stunning write by Lou. As always, she's just got a beautiful use of language and imagery. This is, it's sad, it's romantic. The metaphors are top shelf quality. I really like how she used the wonderful use she had of opera terminology. That was a beautiful and heartfelt write on the way that music touches both the body and the spirit. So absolutely amazing. I especially liked awakening dolce intoxication, operatic language, dual harmonies, ensnaring cloaked blackness, musical notes, touching heavy. You can really feel the way that the music moves and touches. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Yeah, that stanza was my favorite as well, too. Awakening dolce intoxication was great. Frank, what are your thoughts?
Well, first I thought Bobby was going to sing there an opera there, the Pogan opera. this was a fantastic poem. I do agree. you know, Lou, first of all, I hope she's getting better there. I'll see if I can give her a message afterwards. I really like the notion there, the way she describes the angel there and how the angel in itself is the seduction there that's being mentioned in the poem here. And I like what Pam was saying about the terminology here in this poem and how, you know, she brings in those elements, but she always brings her seduction to these pieces, whether it's dark, whether it's just plain seduction itself. And this is what I enjoy always about her poetry, that she just has wonderful imagery, wonderful metaphors. I wish I could write like her. You know, my poems are just poems. Her poetry is divine. She's just a beautiful poet and a beautiful person. Great job. Great read.
Excellent comment. Yes, she writes like her, that's for sure.
With that, I have to say I have to go, my friends. It's good to be on, and I will listen to the rest of the show, if not tomorrow, but always take care, my friends, and a great show, Danu and Bobby. Great job tonight.
Thank you.
Peace and love,
Frank.
Hopefully
peace and love, Frank.
Speak to each other tonight. Take care, my friends.
Absolutely.
One on
all right, peace. Peace.
Take care, man.
Take care.
All right, cool. Bobby, that leaves us with you. You did an awesome read. What did you think when you were reading it?
Well, thank you. I was contemplating over this, of all the pieces that we've had up until this point, most of them have been from the approach of the phantom. This clearly is from the approach of the point of view of Christine, of the soprano, of the torment, and she is no less tormented than he, because she's lost her father at an early age. She adored her father. He was her mentor. She's learning music. She's learning it through this mentor who wants her to achieve, but then doesn't want her to share that gift with the world. He wants to hold it captive like a bird in a gilded cage. And here she has this gift that she wants to share, and he's nurtured it. He's helped it along. He's taught her, and yet he wants her to restrict it to only him. And she, you can feel her torment in this. La tua voce canta means your voice sings, and seduzione della notte is the seduction of the night, which I think it almost refers back to one of the songs in the musical, but it's always the appearance of the angel of music, or the manifestation of the angel of music, because he doesn't always appear, is at night, and it's just the two of them, and music notes infuse darkened midnights, nightingales. There's another reference again with the nightingales. Rest near gothic laced shears, speak moonlight's charms. And here she's, the pipe organ's keys to my singing heart are songs flowing, night's ears swallowing, drowning me, filling my heart's essence. She's overwhelmed by his affection for her, his obsession for her. And I love the feathered troop of singers, another reference back to the appearance of the wings in the illustration. But she did beautiful storytelling, threaded through the entire thing is the anguish of the woman who's awakening dolce sweet intoxication, operating languid dual harmonies. She sings with him, but she can't be with him. It's her frustration, and I don't think he sees that, and which is at the end, to make a reference to the film or to the opera, she finally does reach out to him and she kisses him, and that's when he finally yields and realizes where his behavior has taken everybody. So, but this is candles, hundreds rising in watery ebony eyes, rehearsing the mask ball where fragrant wisteria, high soprano notes sparkle meld into heart's rayless layer. Beautiful closing. This is just such a deeply emotional, piece.
Thank you, as always, Bobby. Absolutely. And I think we're lucky we have another special guest star. I think Stelena's with us.
Hi, everyone.
Oh, seriously?
Thanks, Stelena.
Hi.
And she said, she says, what a nutter I am. And I said, yes, that's why you fit perfectly on this show. So we appreciate you calling in because we're all pretty insane.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Because I forgot the blasted hour, because our time changes here. You see.
I forget what day it is almost every day, yeah. So we're with you there. Yeah. So we're gonna read Amy's first, and then we'll get to yours, Stelena. So I'm really glad you joined. Frank, by the way, said he forgot to say Happy Halloween, and then he came back and said boo to everybody, so he was trying to scare us. So thanks, Frank. We appreciate it.
I'm terrified, Frank.
Yes, exactly. No, your laugh scared me. The boo didn't scare me, but the laugh did. All right, and I would love it. So we'll get to yours in a minute, Stelena. Pam, would you be able to read Amy's for us? That would be great if you could.
I would be happy to. All right. And Angel of Music by A.R. Mundell. Moonlight mists which shift and shadow cling to my shins tonight. Moon peeking down, so kind and timeless, won't you please quell my plight? Surely you know my peerless angel. Father once spoke of him. As he lay dying, he had whispered, angel of music would sing. Sing me to sleep in darkest nightmares. Watch over me in dreams. Feathers of notes as soft staccatos, holding a harp which gleams. Wings open wide, bestowing music, harmony, birds take flight. His white ropes flow like melodies. I see the tunes in this world, every object its own score, listening to each unfurl. Heartbeats and thoughts, he can play them, bird songs swept up in his hem. But where is this angel of music? Why can I not hear his voice? Once I had thought he lived in me. Now, though, I long for a choice. If that dread creature's my angel, those robes splattered red with their blood, feathers all mangled and broken, calling birds stunted and dud, eyes covered up and unseeing, all but his dreadful domain. If that fine music cost such prices, Father, why did you send him? Here at your grave, I plead for answers. Moon, do you know? Please tell me. End poem.
Thank you very much, Pam. And Amy, I'm really glad that you concentrated on the music, because I think the Phantom Opera is about, as much as about love and longing, it's very much about music, and I'm really glad that you concentrated on it. That's great. Stelena, as our newest guest, the first comment goes to you.
Sorry, I keep to be going in and out for some reason, this blasted internet.
I think you dropped for a second. Are you there? All right, we'll come back to you, Stelena, in a second here. Bobby, I'm going to start with you this time. We've been ending with you, but you get to start it.
I know you're so lucky.
Right.
I'm sitting here again, having strange thoughts. this is an interesting, I've noticed in this contest, and this particular piece brought it forward, how our male authors are speaking from the point of view of the phantom, and how our female authors have approached the pieces from the point of view of the woman. Very strong gender division here. I've never seen it this clear in one of our contests before. Just such an interesting division of emotional approaches and exploration. I just bring that forward because I don't know if there's anything there beyond what I've just seen, but here's and here you said she's talking about the music and what her father gave to her as far as her music and why that dread creature is my angel. Those robes splattered red with blood, feathers all mangled and broken, and she's heartbroken that the angel of music that her father promised her is not the pure ethereal spirit that she had longed for to mentor her and nurture her, but it's just this wounded creature who teaches her but then keeps her hostage. And I like the blend, like you said, of the music, but here really, really, and this is the first piece I've seen explore the angel of music character with such detail, because it taught that her father told her there would be an angel of music, but then Eric assumes that position, and it's almost fraudulent. He's taken advantage of that character and insinuated himself into her life because of it. But as he lay dying, he whispered, "Angel of music would sing me to sleep in darkest nightmares, me in dreams." And what she got promised was protector, and what she ended up with was a tormentor.
Excellent. Thank you. And I'll give 10-second pause. Stelina, are you back?
I think so.
Excellent. We're very glad.
Oh, God. I hate these gremlins. It's happening to me a lot lately. Yeah, exactly.
So did you get to hear the poem, though?
No. Sorry. I just came at the tail end of it. I'm sorry, Amy.
No problem at all. Let's go with... with Socrates.
So I have to disagree with Bobby. I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that Pam's entry was about the phantom, right? But I'm not 100% sure. I'm confused on who the angel of music is, because I'm not sure if that's who if that's the angel that's singing, or if that's the angel that is telling the angel who's singing to sing, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I do think this piece is very delicate. You know, it uses very short words, very short sentences, and I think it makes a very beautiful picture of just the movie in general. I do like the one line, where is it at? But where is this angel of music? Why can I not hear his voice? Once I had thought he lived in me, now though I long for a choice. I believe that the angel is singing this song, and the angel who pretends to be an angel is actually a phantom is also singing from the moon. I'm not sure. but it's also about her father, so I have to see this movie. I know, guys, I have to see it, but I'm really struggling here. This is beautiful. Yeah, this is beautiful. Great job.
This is the longest tease for a movie you're going to see ever in your life, I think. So you'll be excited to go watch it.
All right,
cool. Thanks, Socrates. Appreciate it. And Pam, you did a great read. What were your thoughts?
Yes, this is absolutely beautiful. Has wonderful rhyme and flow. The rhyme itself is not forced. It doesn't interrupt with the story. I like how she wrote from the perspective of Christine talking at the grave of her father. And the idea of communicating the questions of a broken heart to the all-seeing moon. I like that in a way the moon is personified as a parental figure or a god or a goddess looking over and having the answers and yet staying silent. So wonderful, right, and very well done.
Excellent,
and
Pam.
Socrates,
thank you very much.
Socrates was absolutely right. Pam did write from the point of view of the Phantom. So well spotted.
Thank you.
Excellent, Socrates. Yeah, we but Bobby and I are too old. We're losing our minds. We need you on here to like keep us together and make sure we know what we're doing. So you gotta be our editor on this. Excellent. Bobby's saying, I'm not old. What are you talking about, Dan? Yeah, right. All right, I'm the old guy on here. I get it. I'm the one that needs the help. All right, cool. Excellent job. Yeah, thank you, Socrates, for that. And, all right, Stelina, we are going to try yours if you're ready. I think after all that work, we got you going, and I'm going to post yours if you would give us a read. You worked hard for this one, so. Uh-oh, is she here?
Oh, dear.
Uh-oh, we might have lost her again. Oh, no,
not
happening tonight, my friend. Stay, we'll just stay on the board. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
No problem. Well, we tried. That's all right. I will definitely give it a read for you. And this is called Vile Visage. It looks like it's a collaboration between Stelina and our friend Arcana Amor.
Yeah.
A soliloquy, Phantom of the Opera, a.k.a. Eric. In moments of solitude, the child emerges. Images of contorted, mocking faces haunt my dreams, and lashes of the whip sting my tender young skin. Weeping beneath a Hessian sack, masking my malignancy, when a child proferred her hand and secreted me in a world where music is my beacon and this dismal domain. The ensuing lovelorn years have not been kind in my quest for empathy, some small token of compassion to make me feel accepted as I hide my horrific deformity behind a mask of pseudo-normality, disguising my half-faced, noseless, sunken-eyed affection that is too abhorrent for to ever be kissed by my own mother. Forever she who gave birth to this monster is repelled in disgust. I seek solace of spirit from the love of my angel, which has refused me to soar in sensual symphonies and passionate pasta de deux, to linger in her embrace as her voice pierces my heart and my tears fall in utter beauty of heavenly harmony. With mellifluous melodies shall I entrance and possess, with or without her consent, she shall surrender to me. I thought my only hope of capturing this love so denied was to chain the object of my desire with controlling tethers, to keep her locked away deep within my secret chamber and possess her under threat of atrocities I'd otherwise commit. But then something unforeseen manifested in a simple act of pity that released me from this madness that haunts my twisted psyche. Yet she holds the key to her freedom in her sympathetic heart. With that tender, loving kiss she bestows upon my vile visage, with the brush of her lips, my heart melts into mercy. All my dreams dissipate in a shroud of sorrow. I can leave this world with the memory of just one moment, to know my faded humanity has been rekindled. End poem. Well, I actually almost teared up at the end of that. That was so beautiful. I honestly did. That was so beautiful.
Superb read.
I was really, really into reading that. And Socrates, having never seen the story, that this is it. we just ruined it for you because this is basically the story, and it was so beautifully done. I mean, just really amazing. I'm going to call it a brevity of this story because I think they really captured every aspect of it. So awesome job! I really enjoyed this, Delina. And I am going to start with you, Socrates. What do you think?
Okay. So I just want to say that this whole thing reminds me of an album that I used to listen to back. I still do, actually, but it was my favorite album for the longest time. Called Folie à Deux, which uses a deux in this poem. I'm not sure where it's at, but Folie à Deux is French for madness of two, and it also looks like the exact image of this picture right here. So I think this is very beautiful. And I can understand what this poem is about now, you know. So it's about two people that are bonded by calling and want to sing for the phantom, and the phantom wants her to sing for him, and she wants to sing for her father. So I think this is wonderfully done. I like the line in the middle right here. I seek solace, a spirit from the love of my angel, which is refused me to soar in sensual symphonies and passionate pas de deux. So I think that right there is that's just top-notch poetry right there. You know, to want her to sing for you, but she refuses because you aren't doing it for her own benefit. You're doing it because you want her to make you feel loved, which I think is the main message behind this story. So, great job. Excellent. Is that right,
yeah,
by the way?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was good. That was a great, great comment. You got it.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, cool. And Pam, what do you think?
I thought this was a beautiful and seamless collaboration, a wonderful write between Stelina and Arcana. I really like how she captures the dark and profound heart of the tale of the Phantom of the Opera with this powerful use of imagery, beautiful use of alliteration, and just a wonderful write all the way through. Very well done.
Thank you, Pam, absolutely. And Postelina didn't even get to hear it read. She just said she got knocked off again. So she has got the gremlins all over her internet tonight. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful poem, Stelina. It honestly made me tear up a little bit. So hopefully you can listen to the SoundCloud later. But she's a trooper. She's trying so hard to get us a SoundCloud and come on. And I appreciate your efforts tonight, absolutely, Stelina. Bobby, my guess is that we probably shouldn't. I don't like to squeeze one in. So if you wanted to comment, and then maybe kind of,
we have
about four or five left.
Oh Lord, here we go. We just again did.
We did, but I think we'll have, if you want to comment on this and then talk about, I think we could probably add these to the, because we have the carryover show anyway.
So
we'll have kind of a double carryover show.
Actually,
I think it would be good.
There's a topic. Hey, remember, there's a topic for, because we already have a show planned for Halloween week carryovers.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay.
We'll
carry.
I'm glad
we'll
you're
add
to
these.
Mention that. Thank you, Pam.
Totally, my brain going the other way on that one. Thank you, Pam, for correcting me. So yes, we will. Whoever didn't get read, we will add them to the Halloween show carryovers, and then we have a carryover show ourselves.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to comment, Bobby, and then talk about our carryover show, but I will get you those, Pam. Absolutely, I'll get you the carryovers.
Endless loop of carryovers.
Awesome.
That's right.
So anyway, I think we had some. I am as ever endlessly astonished at the quality of the poetry that we're evoking with our show. I mean, just I see, and every once in a while we get a new writer in here, and then we get some of our favorites in, like Pam, or like EJ Cool, or like Selena, or like Liu Yu, and it's interesting to see who gets inspired by what. And the next show is going to be our carryover. We're gonna clean the closets. We're gonna get everything off the shelves, and we're gonna have call it Captain B2 and D2's potluck evening.
That's
and,
right.
Depending upon the number of pieces we have, I'm going to talk to you about possibly posting some additional artwork and some limited entries. So if we have maybe a half a dozen carryovers, maybe we throw a few slots in there for people to toss some poetry in there as well in the mix. So we'll have a little bit of a variety. But really thank everybody who wrote for this show. And they're just, like I said, I'm
no problem.
It's absolutely, the poetry is stunning. You're brilliant people out there. Just amazing what people can do with just one basic set of words and the endless variations we come up with.
I agree. I always dread when Bobby writes me and says, "Hey Dan, can you give me your winners now? Look, can you look over? Because I'm like, I can't pick. How am I supposed to pick out of these things? You know, it's a tough one. The contests that you do, Bobby, inspire very very much. You really pick great stuff. So yeah, I thought it was great. I think we have like 10. I think we actually have totally did our record of like 10 carryovers from the last show. So we have a lot, but we probably have room for a few more.
Well,
so yeah, we'll have to figure out what to do with that. And then we have four or five here that, as Pam pointed out, we'll get that to the Halloween carryover show. So that will be great.
We have a fair number of them, but I don't think we have 10. I'm looking here.
Oh, we don't? Okay.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Maybe we do have 10. Yeah, you know, we have a whole another show's worth. You know,
we talked a lot that last show. Yeah, that was a fun show. But yeah, we'll definitely fill it up. We'll have time for the next one. So, yeah, anything else you want to say, Bobby? We've got a couple minutes here.
Just to thank everyone who not only contributes their entries, but I've noticed folks doing drive-bys now, and they'll drop in and they'll leave their comments on the contest page and tell us how much they enjoy the artwork, and that to me even is a very satisfying to know that people are they're stopping, they're looking, they're enjoying what they're seeing, and they're learning something. They don't necessarily have to write to it to enjoy it. So that
Absolutely.
To me, all of our efforts are I think they're well rewarded. I feel very gratified that folks are enjoying our work so much, and that LNP gave us this opportunity to have this slot. So I'm very happy to be doing this, and I'm already shopping around looking for what we're going to do for Christmas. I'm shopping for
Absolutely,
Christmas.
Absolutely, yeah. excellent. Yeah, no, absolutely. I think
yeah.
so too. We always have a great show, and the callers are awesome. So we thank
yeah.
everybody. So thanks, everyone.
For Christmas, you and I had talked about. I'm going to try and keep it down to earth for Christmas. Something like Home for the Holidays, and not terribly abstract, but something that people can associate with for the holidays and write to in the spirit
That'll
of the season.
Great. That would be great. Yeah, we'll end the year well there. So I'm excited.
Yeah, excited
for that. So, thanks everybody. Look at right on time, 11:59. Yogi Bear Christmas. Pee-wee said that would be great. That would be fun.
And
thanks,
and
Socrates, for joining.
Charlie Brown on the great. Don't forget to watch Charlie Brown on the great pumpkin this
year. absolutely, every year. Thanks,
hey, thank
thanks
you,
Pam. Thanks, Socrates. Thanks, guys. Have a great night. Peace and happiness to everyone.
Thank you.
Ciao,
thanks, guys. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.